I'm with Barry Smith today. 7 Stanley Cups, 2 with Pittsburgh, 3 with Detroit, and 2 with Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us here at the West Coast Hockey Prep Camp, Barry.
Hey, thanks for asking me. I'm having a great time.
Great.
Really good time.
I did a little research, and it looks like your coaching career started in about 1975 at Elmira College. That's 40 years in the game.
Yeah.
When you look back on the game, before you started that career, did you ever imagine a career in hockey like you've had?
I was trying to play 2 sports at the time. I was trying to play hockey and football. And obviously my size didn't help me in either sport. So I was actually trying out for a team called the Philadelphia Firebirds in Philadelphia at the same time. And the guy who owned the team was Robin Roberts, famous baseball player,
okay,
part owner.
Okay.
And he said, I just checked in some resumes. I saw your resume. You have a teaching background. He goes, would you like to do some teaching at the school my boys go to? It's a private school, not far from here. I said, does that mean I'm not on the team? He goes, no, it means you probably won't make much as a pro player, so maybe you want to start teaching. So I said, let's take a look at the school. And that was Germantown Academy, and that's how I started teaching.
Okay.
Yep, he walked me to it.
You definitely approach the week with our kids as an educator. You've got a ton of experience at the NHL level, but you communicated with our young players really well. Is that important to you, that it's teaching and education first of the game?
Well, it's a chance to give back, you know. I mean, I'm with the grassroots guys out here, and that's the most important thing, because sometimes we hang around only with our own little environment, which is the NHL or AHL, and these are the guys that are doing the developing. You know, we're getting the finished product. We're getting the products that they're making. So I want to have a chance to go back and work with the grassroots and help these guys with whatever we've learned, that maybe they can implement some of the things that we've discovered to help they can use for their younger players. If we can make a player better anywhere, we're doing a good job for the kid and for the service of the game.
Well, you met with all of us coaches last night, and I could tell you could hear a pin drop in that room. Everyone was just soaking up every word, and you have definitely had an impact on a large number of us who then can take back to the kids. So, as the director of player development for the Blackhawks, if you could write a perfect job description in terms of what you feel that role should be, where do you put your focus?
That's a great point or question. There's so many different parts of it, and you have so many different levels of players. They'll draft a player who he may pop, or in other words, become as good as he can be at a later age, at 24, 25. Some kids are as good as they're going to be at 19. They don't improve. Our job is to try to find that motivation factor to try to have them want to improve. If you want to do something, there's a great chance that you're going to have a chance to improve that aspect of any part of the game. And if they can understand their strengths and weaknesses, if I can help you understand, here's what you do best, but here's what we have to add to that. And so you can understand I'm going to take what I have and then build from there, not start over again, because you can't start over again.
Yeah.
And if I could have a format, if there was a format, almost like a template, saying follow this A, follow this B, follow this C, follow this D, and you get results, I would have that. But there isn't one. There is no template, because each kid's different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the intrigue of it. That's the difficulty of the actual job itself, but that's the intrigue of trying to find ways to make kids better.
It's part art and part science. The science is developing the players, but the art is finding out how to connect with each individual prospect that you have in your system.
Yes, and then keep what you've learned from each particular player, try to put that into your dictionary of how we improve players, so you can pick it out. Oh, here's A, here's B, here's C, here's D, here's what we use for this guy, here's what the mentorship did, here's what, and then we'd have a real good handle on how to improve players.
You're going to be in Sweden a little bit later here this summer,
yep,
running a pro camp.
Yeah.
Why Sweden, and where in Sweden, and what is it about that's a good fit for you guys in Chicago?
We have Swedish players who are already there, quite a few of them, and those we've drafted. So those guys are already there on land. I find that there's nowhere else in North America that is going full bolo, full go, in August, okay? No team.
Mm-hmm.
You have hockey schools, you may have a hockey camp, but they're not practicing full. Their season's not starting.
Yeah.
If I go to Europe, they're going August 1st,
yeah,
full speed. If I go into Russia, it's middle of July. If I go to different countries, and they are practicing full speed. And when I bring my players and throw them in, they have to jump in the deep end.
Mm.
Otherwise, they're going to be swamped. And they have to get up to 88 RPMs immediately, and they can hold that for that week. And then when I put them back into our training camp, they're above the rest of the guys. So it's a real good implementation.
Nice. How much contact do you have with the players that you're watching in your system, your prospects, on a, you know, September or let's say August through April?
This year we've changed our format of how we're going to have visitation with the players, and we'll have a group A, which is the players who are closer to becoming a pro, versus group B. Group A will be seen by me more often than I'll see group B. Mm-hmm. Group B will be seen by our new development forward coach, which is Derek Plant. He'll see group B. Mark Eaton, who does our defense, will see both because, in essence, he is the only guy for defense.
Okay. From the time a player is drafted or signed with your club, what are kind of those next steps where he has direct contact with the big club in terms of from the day a guy's drafted, he starts getting worked into development camps? And,
right.
Yeah, can you just tell our listeners a little bit more?
Yeah, all of our drafted players go to what we call a prospect or development camp, and every NHL team has that, and it's usually in July. And that is for 1 week. And there we have all the players we've drafted, plus we've incorporated what we call the ELC group, which is the entry-level contract group. Mm-hmm. And they have their own individual practice. So we'll have free agents and our prospects at this camp. They'll scrimmage for 3 days and have some practice. And then we'll take only our players and put them with their ELC players and work positional practice, work special skills, and have a scrimmage with them.
Okay. You've been at this a long time with some amazing teams. You're clearly a student of the game yourself and very passionate about the development. What do you notice that you've changed in terms of your focus in the last 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, I'm not sure, but just what has changed in how you approach the development of young players?
When you're coaching full-time with the team, at times you have to have a little distance from those players, you know, because you're working with them in a different aspect, okay? You're coaching them.
You have to create some separation.
Yes, yeah. And now that I'm working with them in a complete different stage, you know, I'm working with the coach and with them. I'll ask the coach what they need to, you know, what they feel they need to improve upon. I can tell the player what the coach has done this, and let's work together for it. So it's a little bit of a different hands-on, if you understand.
Okay. We talked a lot last night about what we as youth coaches and grassroots coaches need to focus on. What do you think is missing in a typical youth hockey practice today?
I think, first of all, Nate, it's very hard to run a good practice. There are very few coaches who can run a very progressive practice and have a handle on it. They might follow drills. They might have a book and sort of, let's try this, let's try that, almost like a, you know, like a map. Let's map this out. But to have a handle on when to change the drills, what's not going, when to have fun with the guy, when to feel you have to, you know, ante up or slow it down, you don't have a lot of those guys. So in every organization, if you have a guy who runs good practices, my recommendation is to try to have that guy run practice for almost everybody at some point in time and learn from them. Practice coaches are difficult. Games are a whole different situation. You're playing the game, you understand the game, you change the players.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
in practice, it's tough.
Okay. You made a really interesting point that stuck with me last night, that your American League club was practicing more like an NHL team.
Correct.
And that's just not relevant. I think I work with a lot of youth coaches, and a lot of those coaches will learn something that they see at the NHL and try to implement it with kids, let alone American League. Can you just talk about the difference between what an American League practice should look like versus the big club?
You know, we think when, because a player's turned professional or he's 22, he has all the ingredients. He's been taught, you know, A to Z. And all we have to do is help him get the reaction time or speed or a little detail of his game to be NHL. It's far from the truth. A lot of these kids who walk through the door as a first-year pros, they haven't had a very good background of teaching. They have a very poor understanding of the game. They may be a superior athlete in some aspect. That's why they're there or got drafted, because they have a projection of something.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't practice like an NHL player does, who has that ingredients already taken care of. He's got all his practice time. He's already been for so many games at the NHL level.
Mm-hmm.
These guys haven't played one game at the NHL level. So why should we practice like they've played there?
Mm-hmm.
We have to practice because they still have to learn. They have to learn perception. They have to learn how to find, you know, tempo. They have to learn how to find, do I react? You know, how's my reaction time going to be?
Mm-hmm.
We have to work on all those things because they don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Elaborate on that in regards to a lot of the drills you've done with our kids this week have incorporated reads and reaction time, and I try to encourage youth coaches to get away from one-on-zero flow drills, like we've said, where you got all the time in the world to take that shot. Without having a whiteboard in front of these coaches, this is an audio interview, can you just touch on the downside or the negative side of sort of traditional status quo flow drills versus adding those elements that you did?
Okay, you may want to start a practice with some flow drills so everybody can feel the puck and get up to a certain speed, but you have to add deception, you have to have, as I said, read or react at some point in your practices all the time, or a continuous drill, which is only one puck. Why have 25 pucks on the ice and have a whole practice of 25 without ever going to one puck? Because the game is played with one puck. There has to be a continuation of, if I shoot, do I back check or do I go back in line? If I shoot, do I go for the rebound or I quit and say that's enough, I had my one shot? Mm-hmm. You know, those are small details, but it's huge in helping a player, you know, become transformed into the best he can be.
I like that. I think we'll leave perhaps this conversation with that great tip for youth coaches, is that add layers to drills that give it that game application, even if it is a skill drill. It's whether it's following for the rebound or chasing on the back check, just trying to get that next one, thinking one step ahead.
So you don't quit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, we have too many situations where we quit after the shot. Well, you never quit after a shot in the game, either offensively or defensively.
If you do, you're done.
Yeah, I don't see pylons in a game where you're supposed to get behind. Yeah. You know, so let's take them away too.
Yeah.
You know, let's get movement.
Final thought, the game is chaos, practicing in chaos.
Yes.
I like that. Can you describe the drill you loved that day in Siberia when you were coaching in the NHL? See if you can do that without a whiteboard.
Okay, so we have three zones, and three zones have their own games. And you have the, what they call the mini nets with no goaltenders.
Yeah.
And you have a game going played from blue line to goal line normal. So that's one game.
Yep.
You have a game played diagonally across with two mini nets. Okay, that's game two. Game three is played across ice. So that's game three. There's three games.
Yep.
Each game has a certain color puck.
Yep.
And that puck has to only go in that one game. Okay, so blue goes one way, the red puck goes one way, and the yellow puck goes the other way. You play one-on-one, and the yellow is being played this way versus two different colors. This is being played two different colors, and the diagonal is two different colors. And you play for so many seconds.
Yeah.
Complete chaos.
Complete chaos, and you loved it, and I get it. I love it, too, because it teaches the kids to what?
They have their heads up. They have to look. They have to see. They know there's guys coming at them in all different directions. Their perception level increases, improves. Now they have to get loose pucks. There's still battles and there's still play. And you have to focus on your game. Not on the other game. You focus on your game because you have two other games going on simultaneously inside the same blue line.
Love it. Barry, coming off a Stanley Cup win, congratulations on that. Your seventh. Good luck to you. Thank you so much for taking the time with us this week and in this interview.
Well, thanks, Nathan. It was great having a chance to meet all these coaches here and have a chance, as I said, to work with you guys at this level and then go on the ice with different age groups, because it doesn't happen during our season.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, my friend. Make sure you got it.